Boom, hello, and welcome to Trailer Made.
Welcome.
I'm AJ.
I'm Jim.
And this just in, Jim.
What?
We got a new episode.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So if you like episodes and you like new ones, stay tuned, because here we go.
We're going to be talking about First Man.
In a world where movie trailers have reached new heights, two semi-competent males will talk about them using microphones. AJ Gutierrez and Jim Schwartz in Trailer Made.
If I could give our theme song a hug, I'd hold it for 20 minutes.
It's really fucking good.
Jim, didn't mean to cut you off back there. But
yeah, it's okay.
I'm just sick of hearing your voice.
I know. I am too.
Let's get into the trailers.
Yeah, let me just say what the lineup is for today's episode.
Fine.
We're going to be talking about First Man, the second trailer, Halloween, also the second trailer, The Favorite, a wonky little Disney movie called The Nutcracker and the Four Womp. The Nutcracker and the Four Womp. I can't fucking say it.
Let's try it. Try it again.
The Nutcracker and the Four Realms.
Let me try. The Nutcracker and the Four Realms. We're going to talk about that.
Yep. And Front Runner.
So let's start with First Man.
Let's. First Man is going to have Ryan Gosling re-teaming with the La La Land director Damien Chazelle for a biopic about Neil Armstrong.
This is the second trailer. We talked about the first one.
We talked about the first one. We both liked it. I was like kind of lukewarm on it.
But I was ready for a second trailer.
I was too.
And we don't always come back and do this.
Yep.
Then again, we've only had under 10 episodes.
You know, in that same episode, we also reviewed the first trailer for Halloween. They're on the same like promotional schedule.
Dare we
movies.
Call this episode of the podcast a sequel?
Sure.
Thanks. All right, so we're sequeling it up. Sometimes we do that. So let's get going. We'll show a quick clip of First Man.
We have a go for main engine start. T minus 10.
The entire world's watching.
9. 8.
Do you question whether the program's worth the cost?
7.
In money and in lives?
We got a bad fire!
6. 5.
What are the chances you're not coming back?
4.
Those kids, they don't have a father anymore.
3.
So you're gonna sit the boys down?
2.
And you're gonna prepare them for the fact you might not ever come home.
1.
AJ, are you a fan of this?
Guess what, Jim? No.
Really?
Yeah. Do you think I would be?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised too, because I really wanted to be. And yeah. I'm like the good guy of us, obviously.
I just feel like you like everything. You're like, oh, it's cool. It's got like explosions and
I'm easily entertained.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think this was that great. I thought it could have been a lot better.
Mm.
I thought there was some tropiness that was a little annoying.
Like things that you see in trailers a lot?
Yeah, I mean like
Or just things you see in movies a lot.
I gotta say in trailers, the trailer trope.
Yeah.
My biggest beef was the music.
We have serious problems.
It was just straight Dark Knight.
Really? I didn't pick up any Dark Knight music
all
in that.
All the womps?
Look, all action movies do the womps
I know, but
now.
This was
and
like, this was over the top womps. Yeah. There was a womp, and then a womp, and then even in between the womps, they did a lot of the like...
First of all, Inception is the movie that really started the womps.
Let's just say it was Nolan universe.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because they did a similar IMAX prelude like a month or two back where they showed like 4 minutes from the movie in IMAX theaters.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm
saying. Chazelle is aping Christopher Nolan a little bit.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I love Chazelle.
Mm-hmm.
I love Gosling. Love Neil Armstrong, and I love the moon. But it'd be more original.
Yeah. I had a uneven reaction to this trailer, actually, because I wouldn't say that I really disliked it at first, but something about both trailers have just kind of left me a little cold. The music didn't bother me so much. I actually liked the music this time around. I thought
Did you like the lullaby?
Yeah, it's fine.
Trope.
I see the moon. The moon sees me. Down through the leaves of the old.
I wouldn't say it's too overused.
And what song was that?
I don't know. I don't know what lullaby that is.
I think they made it up.
Yeah, maybe it's an original lullaby that Gosling
An original lullaby. by Damien Chazelle.
I think what it gets down to for me is that the trailer really is selling a lot of the household drama, which really hinges on the wife really getting on the husband's case about his job and, you know, what it's costing their family.
Yeah.
That's a really tired narrative. It's also just like really old fashioned. Today's movies, you're seeing a lot more inclusion on screen, you know, a lot more diversity and a lot more varied roles for women. This seems to be going kind of back to how movies used to be, where, you know, the guy's the hero, his wife is like a counterpoint warning him to be careful
It's like Apollo 13.
Don't forget you have a family to come home to.
Yeah.
What are you, right before?
How dare
like,
you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Make history.
Yeah.
And what does she say to Coach T? You're just a bunch of boys.
You don't have anything under control.
It's like, man, we work for NASA. That actually, that was a high point of mine, was Coach T. When he looks at Ryan Gosling.
He says, we want you to be.
Yeah, he says, yeah. What's the line?
Neil, everyone's in agreement. We'd like you to command.
That's pretty much Coach T asking you to be QB1.
Yeah, which everyone has been waiting for their whole lives.
Their whole life.
They might not know it, but they've been waiting for Coach T to come up to them and be like, we all agree. We want you heading this up.
Yeah. If you open the door and Coach T is like, I want you to go first.
You know what?
I'd cry. Thanks, Coach T. I'll do anything you say. That was great. I think he's perfectly cast.
Yeah, no, he's perfect to be like, you know, the mission control commander, whatever that position is.
Yeah, it's
I'm making up a NASA position.
It's mission control commander. What do you do for work?
Mission control commander.
Oh, cool. I'm in sales.
But you know what, AJ? I did come around to this trailer. I like it. I'm
at what
fan.
Point?
I don't know. Maybe it was like the fourth or fifth time I watched it. When we decided to you know, review it for this episode, I rewatched it and finally something clicked.
I mean, it's an epic movie. It's going to be a big, monumentous occasion. I got to be honest with you.
Monumentous?
Monumentous occasion.
Monumental?
It's monumentous. When I did see it and I decided.
You mean momentous. I think you're confusing the words momentous and monumental, but that's okay.
It's a momentous occasion. When I did decide to not like it, I was proud of myself for not liking something.
Wow.
And then,
good for you.
But a lot of me was like, maybe I do like it. I was like, no, I got to stick to my guns.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely going to see this movie regardless of whether or not I like the trailer. You know, just judging from the pedigree alone, it's Damien Chazelle, it's Ryan Gosling, it's Claire Foy.
What do you think about the controversy?
About the American flag?
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, there's a controversy right now. Mm. There's a hashtag even, which is, I think, boycott first man. But basically, they're not going to show the planting of the American flag on the moon. And people are pissed.
People are really pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same people who burn Nike shoes, though.
Yeah. It's
and those people are not listening to this podcast.
Probably not. Yeah, I think it's bullshit.
I think you're right. Let's move on.
Word. The next trailer we'll be discussing is the second trailer for Halloween, which is like a sequel of sorts to the original Halloween. I don't know. Can you clarify this for
Jim,
me?
Jim, sit down and let me explain the Halloween sequelness.
Yes, sir.
This movie is called Halloween, and it also is claiming that it's the sequel to the first Halloween. So if you're doing this in chronological order, it would be Halloween and then Halloween.
Halloween.
But what this movie is also doing is it's ignoring all of the other sequels from the original Halloween and making this Halloween the sequel to the original Halloween.
Not confusing at all.
Of course not. Let me go through all of the different Halloweens so we can see the difference between this Halloween and that Halloween.
I remember Halloween H2O.
Well, here we go. Halloween. Halloween 2. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers.
That's your favorite, right?
I mean. Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Wow.
Halloween H2O, 20 years later.
Yeah.
Halloween Resurrection. And then we start over because Rob Zombie gets in the mix. And guess what Rob Zombie calls his movie?
Halloween.
Halloween. And then after that Halloween, Rob Zombie made another Halloween. Guess what he called that Halloween?
Halloween.
Halloween 2. So guess what?
There's two Halloween 2s.
There's two Halloween 2s, a couple Halloweens, and then this next Halloween that came after Halloween 2 by David Gordon Green, which is called Halloween.
Wow, it is so convoluted.
Yeah.
It does make me a little depressed about the state of Hollywood right now, where people have to get like really convoluted with their sequels and be like, no, this is more of a sequel to the first two. The other five that came out after that, this is not really in that lineage of stories. But you know, it's like, guys, can we just come up with a new horror movie?
It'd be like if our podcast had a sequel. Yeah. So it's like, it's Trailer Made.
It's called Trailer Made.
And then Trailer Made 2, back on the mic. Then there's Trailer Made, the prequel, before The Maid.
Yeah, when you and I were just little boys.
We're just little boys, before The Maid. And then two other guys come in, start over, and guess what they call it?
They just call it Trailer Made. There's all these Trailer Maids on the Anchor app, and people are like, I don't know what to make of this. Which one do we watch?
Whatever's the most recent. Yeah. So let's watch that trailer.
Trick or treat!
You!
Oh, what the?
Hey!
Sorry,
Sorry. 40 years ago, on Halloween night, Michael Myers murdered three people.
After that horrific night, he was sent back to the institution in captivity.
He is a killer. But he will be killed tonight. Happy Halloween, Michael.
So, Jim, you already know what I'm going to say. Are you a fan of this new Halloween trailer?
I am a fan. I want to acknowledge that this trailer, like a few other trailers we've reviewed recently, also starts with one long scene.
Yeah. I'm into this trend.
I'm into the trend, too. I like this particular scene too. Like I really like how it opens with this scene. I don't feel like it spoils the scene for me really at all. And I like how it integrates like sound bites from other parts of the movie while it's lingering with this one scene. It doesn't reveal too much. It just kind of showcases the filmmaking style. It's all one like long tracking shot following Michael Myers into a house as he's presumably gonna kill someone.
Presumably.
I was really into that opening shot. I also like that it just reveals Michael Myers right at the very beginning. It's like, you know what? We're just going to open with the villain. No need to tease his appearance at all. He's frightening enough.
And him walking around at night during Halloween is terrifying because there's kids running around.
Totally.
A kid bumps into him.
Seeing kids bump into him is a great way to start it.
Also, if you guys haven't seen this trailer, when he ends this scene, what Jim's talking about, he goes straight into a garage. And so the whole tracking shot is leading to an open garage. And you see a woman leaving the garage right as he's walking in. But he doesn't follow the woman. He still goes to the garage. Yeah. And then there's a workbench. And
where
you think
he grabs.
You think he's going to grab a knife. But he doesn't.
He grabs a hammer.
And then you hear, smash, someone died.
And then he grabs a knife. Yeah. And he's like, now I'm going to go back to my weapon of choice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they have a quick shot of the woman's head hammered in.
They do?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
I hit pause. It's real quick. It's like you can't see it fully, but you see her on the table bloody.
Like later on in the trailer?
Right after that.
Oh.
Like
are
right,
you sure?
I'm very sure.
All right. We might have to go back to the tape on this.
Yeah, definitely. Let's do it right now.
AJ.
No.
I don't see anybody's head
definitely
getting.
Definitely there. I remember watching it and pressing pause and seeing like a quick shot of her just laying on, like her head laying on the table. And you could see, like, it was quick, but it was there.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry. My co-host seems to have gotten confused. He's just reporting on false things.
It was right there. Like,
yeah,
right,
well,
see, right,
we
the,
just
right
re-watched
the shot,
the trailer
right, the
right
shot
now.
Where he comes out with the knife, and, oh, shit, it's not there.
God.
Damn. Okay, well, I'm going to take five. You got the
yeah,
rest?
Why don't you take a breather? All right, ladies and gentlemen, AJ, he's not himself right now. He's going to take two.
You tell me when this one's over.
All right. I really appreciated this trailer because I thought it was very thoughtful and artistic, but still very much like a slasher flick. You can come back in, AJ.
I'm back. Because I have some stuff I want to say.
You okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying that I really like it because I think it's showing that it's going to be a really thoughtfully made movie, but still very much a slasher flick. You know, it's going to be a genre movie, but that doesn't mean it has to be shitty. You know, it can still be a well-made genre movie.
It's not gimmicky.
Exactly.
It's very much, it's grounded in reality. And it's kind of like Jamie Lee Curtis versus Michael Myers. Like, she's kind of badass in this.
So
I
was going to bring that up. I still haven't seen the original Halloween, Halloween 1. The first Halloween one.
So Halloween. Yeah. Maybe it's in the inflection. There's Halloween, and then there's Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And then Halloween.
Maybe, should we add a question mark at this one?
Halloween? So are we saying about this Halloween?
I like seeing Jamie Lee Curtis being a badass hero.
Totally.
I haven't really seen her in this light before.
I have prayed every night that he would escape.
Who the hell did you do that for?
So I can kill him.
I was like trying to think of action movies she's been in. She was in True Lies.
I was gonna say True Lies, brother.
She was great in that, but she's, her whole role in that is how she's like comically not that. She's like a housewife who gets, you know, caught up in all this like
she
crazy
held her
action.
Own in Halloween.
I'm sure she did. So I haven't seen the original. I have to give that disclaimer.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Third Halloween one.
I believe it's time for Jim to leave the room. How does that feel of not seeing the original Halloween?
Are you kicking me out of the,
no,
the podcast?
No, please stay, because I need you to say the real important stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. It kind of reminds me of a role that like you'd see Sigourney Weaver in, you know?
She always had. So in the original, she like has her wits about her. Like, yeah. She's a lot younger.
You trust her. She's competent. You're
She's
this
the one
woman,
where like she's gonna make it. But it's cool to see her now like this. I agree with everything you said. Before we move on, there is one other shot that I know is in there.
Are you now, sure about now this one? I think, do we need to go back and review it?
Well,
to make
it's crazy
because sure
like now I think that there's all these like gruesome shots that were in there that might not have been in there. It's, and then maybe it's my sick mind that's making them up.
I think it might be your sick mind because I was reading an interesting thing where a lot of people after they saw the movie Seven. Thought that they saw, spoiler alert, they thought they saw Gwyneth Paltrow's head in the box at the end.
What?
And the movie never shows
no,
that.
No, I've seen seven times.
Really?
Do people really think that?
Yeah, some people were like, no, I remember seeing Gwyneth Paltrow's head in the box. It's crazy. It was so disturbing.
Definitely not.
And like,
did that just happen
to me? People
had
to say like, no, we never actually showed that. Maybe the trailer was so effective that it put this imagery in your head. And then you confuse those thoughts with memories.
I got Gwyneth Paltrow'd?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to redeem myself.
All right, prove me.
Did you catch the shot of the cop's face being turned into a jack-o'-lantern? Seriously?
I can't tell if you're like playing a prank on me.
I'm not. This is a real thing. You didn't see this?
I saw Michael Myers' mask on a car seat and then like them
that's
looking
not,
at it.
That's not what that was. It was a cop's face. But like jack-o'-lanterned. Let's go to the tape.
Let's go to the tape.
But he will be killed tonight.
Bring it.
Oh, I just thought that was Michael Myers' mask. That's a
look,
human
look,
face.
Look. It's a human face. So I know you guys can't see this who are listening.
Is this a Red Band trailer? Can they show that in trailers?
I think it was just so quick that they couldn't, but I've never seen it before. It's literally a cop's face, jack-o'-lanterned, aka. Take all the
or
head
just
skin, stuff out.
Yeah, take all the skin off.
Take
the
all
head.
The head stuff out. Well, the skin's still there, but it's just the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like on fire from the inside, so it looks like a pumpkin jack-o'-lantern, but it's a human face.
I think that was just a flashlight on it on the skin.
It was going for the jack-o'-lantern effect.
I get it. I think you're right.
It's gross.
It's really gross. I'm surprised I thought that was just Michael Myers' mask on a car seat.
If y'all want to go watch this, it's at 2:12 in the trailer.
It's brutal.
And
poor
write
guy.
Us,
poor guy.
Write us and let us know what you think. trailermadepod@gmail.com. Tell us what you think about the human jack-o'-lantern face. Let's move on to the next trailer.
The next trailer we'll be talking about is for The Favorite. This is a movie by Yorgos Lanthimos. Bear with me. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his
Lanthimos.
Name.
Lanthimos.
Listeners, don't trust AJ's pronunciation of
okay.
names.
Okay.
Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say. Lanthimos.
Definitely that.
He's the writer-director of The Lobster and The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which had a teaser we were big fans of. It stars Rachel Weisz, Emma Stone, and Olivia Colman, who I don't really recognize, but she's going to be playing the queen in the next season of The Crown, FYI.
She's hilarious.
Yeah. The trailer shows a queen who seems to be going mad. She's maybe already gone mad. She's a bit insane, a bit kooky. And Rachel Weisz is her friend and kind of essentially ruling the country because the queen can't. And then Emma Stone enters the picture and seems to challenge Rachel Weisz for control of the queen and control of the country.
Emma Stone enters the picture and she's like, did someone say Oscar nom?
Don't you talk that way about Emma Stone.
You're right. Friend of the pod. Sorry, Emma.
Yeah, she's a big friend
of the pod.
Friend
of the pod.
The queen is an extraordinary person.
They were all staring, weren't they? I can tell even if I can't see. And I heard the word fat. Fat. And ugly.
No one but me would dare, and I did not.
I apologize for my appearance. I hoped I might be employed here by you. As something.
A monster for the children to play with, perhaps.
You're so beautiful.
Stop it, you mock me.
If I were a man, I would ravish you.
You have become close to Abigail.
She is a viper.
You're jealous.
You must send Abigail away.
I do not want to.
Let's shoot something. Sometimes it is hard to remember whether you have loaded the pellet or not.
I must take control of my circumstance.
Throw!
I'm on my side.
What did you think? Were you a fan?
Look, Jim, here's the deal. I looked at the title of The Favorite, mm-hmm. and I'm not a great speller. We all know this.
It's one of your weak points.
It's one of my many weak points. And I saw that it was spelled F-A-V-O-U-R-I-T-E.
Yeah.
And I was immediately like, give me a break.
And just how they spelled it? Well, AJ,
it was giving a little pretentious.
Let me just tell you a little bit.
There's about spelling?
About spelling. Some words are spelled differently in British English than they are in American English.
Well, I don't
this
there.
Spelling of favorite comes from the British way of doing it.
Well, that makes me like it even worse.
It's just like how they spell colors. They spell colors C-O-L-O-U-R-S, which is kind of funny.
Definitely didn't know
it
that.
It sounds like colors.
Definitely didn't know that. Look, I went into it thinking it was going to be a little pretentious.
Mm-hmm. It is a little bit.
But the humor got me.
Yeah,
it looks funny.
Yeah,
I also thought it was it's shot interestingly.
Yeah, a lot of really wide angle lens.
Yeah, it
like
looks like a GoPro.
Lens. Yeah,
or like a skate video fisheye. There's some cool modern twists. It's almost like what's the movie with Kirsten Dunst?
That's funny that you mentioned that Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Marie Antoinette was going for, but I think they might execute it even better.
Yeah, Marie Antoinette actually had a really cool teaser.
I remember.
And it was all done to like a Joy Division song.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was New Order.
The title cards were really good.
The title cards are really
cool.
Very
stylized.
Exactly. I do really like old period dramas that have a very modern spin on them.
But I thought this modern spin was a little more subtle and cool.
I agree.
I think the acting looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm actually very in. This is a very not AJ movie.
Mm-hmm.
All of our fans would be like, AJ, this ain't you. Guess what? I'm in.
It's a new AJ.
I'm not liking the First Man trailer, and I'm liking The Favorite. Maybe I'm hanging out with you too much.
Even when it's spelled that way.
And I'm learning how to spell like English people, right? That's what you're saying?
Welcome to the club, huh?
There you go. Anyway, Jim, I know you have a lot to say about this. Throwing it back to you.
I think this is my favorite trailer of the year so far.
Hot take.
So we talk a lot on this show about how much we appreciate trailers that prioritize mood over plot information. I think this trailer is a great example of a trailer that does both of those things. It evokes a mood. You know, you have a very good understanding of like the kind of dark comedy that's in store for you if you choose to watch this movie. And it also tells you what the story is going to be about in really interesting sound bites. You know, like
you're right.
It gives you a very firm understanding of what the plot of the movie is. What the dynamics between the characters are going to be just through like really perfectly timed sound bites and little snippets of dialogue. And it moves it along really well. I feel like I have a good idea of what the story is. I don't feel like it's spoiled too much for me. and I feel like I have a very good understanding of like what kind of mood and feeling it's going for. And
also,
it's hilarious.
Great understanding of the characters.
Totally. You have a very good understanding of the characters. I would say if there was like a class teaching the art and craft of trailers, this would be a great piece of work to study. Oh. That's my humble opinion. I just think it's a really expertly made trailer.
I want to go back and watch it 5 more times.
I think it moves breezily
after
and it,
that,
and
that was
it conveys a lot.
I mean, look, dude.
Yeah.
I liked it, but for reasons I couldn't express on a microphone. And you expressed those reasons.
I was actually like this trailer just had me looking at it almost like academically, where I kind of came away from it thinking, even if you don't like this trailer just based on your own personal tastes.
I'm a perfect example.
Yeah. You still, I think, can look at the trailer and say, like, it's a really well-made trailer, though. I would be surprised if you're not at least a little bit entertained by the trailer.
I agree.
And it's all just dialogue and kind of funny quips and scenes.
And beautiful set pieces.
Beautiful set pieces.
Beautiful costumes.
Yeah.
And a great cast.
Yeah. It's got great turns in it, too. Like, you know, where it kind of shows the plot thickening when the music cuts out on Rachel Weisz's gunshot and she shoots at Emma Stone. It's revealed a second later that it was just a blank and that it was just a threat. But that was, like, such a great way to show the stakes being upped. And then like, a few shots later, it shows Emma Stone shooting a bird and the blood from the bird sprays on Rachel Weisz's face. It's great stuff. Like, this movie's gonna get violent. There's a lot of really cool shots in this that tease what's to come, but just still leave you with plenty of great questions. There's a shot of Emma Stone going, like, Fight Club on herself with a book. She's just, like, bashing her face in with
a
book.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shots.
It's like, whoa, Emma Stone's going crazy. What are you doing? There seems to be, they cut to, like, a really quick shot of, like, what looks like a 19th century, like, dance-off.
Yeah, where there's a flamethrower,
like,
in the background.
There's flames going on.
I think it's
going
to be a really awesome party scene.
Yeah. Looks
which
like
I'm
an
all
amazing
about.
Party.
Totally. Also shows, like, the even the style of acting is kind of off in a really cool way.
So this guy's movies are a bit like that. The acting is like a little, it's dry.
Yeah.
This guy's style is very
but
dry.
But it's fun seeing it in this time period.
Yeah, very much so. Also, so if by the end of the year I come around to another trailer that I think is the best one, I will give a very special, albeit specific, award to this one for the best ending to a trailer.
My dear friend, how good to see you've returned from hell.
I'm sure you shall pass through it one day.
And then Emma Stone just chuckles. The chuckle says a lot. If you're just listening to the trailer now and you haven't seen it, you might not get totally what, like, Emma Stone is expressing with that chuckle, but it's kind of just like a scared, like, what do you mean by that? But also, like, bring it on, bitch. Like, like, it's a very subversive ending for a pretty subversive
but
trailer.
Sets up for what is going to be a fun battle.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to see these two kind of go at it.
So fair to say that this, Jim, is your favorite trailer.
Indeed.
So this next trailer is The Front Runner, directed by Jason Reitman and starring America's/Australia's Hugh Jackman slash my mom's favorite actor of
really?
All time.
Yeah, yeah, he's a charming dude.
My name is Gary Hart, and I'm running for president.
I've never known a guy more talented at untangling politics so that anyone can understand. It is a gift, and he wants to share that. And all anybody wants is for him to take a stupid photo.
Gary Hart is the man to beat in '88.
If we hold ourselves to those highest standards, then the voters cannot do otherwise.
Senator, I want to ask you some questions about the woman at your townhouse.
Can you tell us how you know her?
You can't be serious. No one is staying in my home. There's no need for that.
I am serious, sir.
Jim, what did you think of The Front Runner? A lot of Oscar buzz behind this.
Yeah, they're saying that, you know, Hugh Jackman is a strong contender for Best Actor. I was not a fan of this trailer. It just doesn't do much for me. I see how they're trying to position the movie as being like a political story that changed the way we look at politics and the way the news media covers politics. But watching it now, it just feels so quaint and not it's noteworthy.
It's flat.
It's so flat.
It's like a flat biopic. Basically, the big scandal is he has an affair. And I get the historical significance of this.
Yeah, so it's based off a real presidential candidate back from 1988. His name was Gary Hart. He was the front runner for the Democratic primary in for the 88 presidential elections. And this scandal came out and torpedoed his chances at that.
And he was
out. Which withdraw.
In today's world is like
wouldn't have happened.
Common practice.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, compared to today's world, like, this is so unnoteworthy.
And I think that's the point.
I think that is, but the trailer should spell that out more.
Agreed.
At least, like, make fun of, like, how, like, back in the day, this was a big deal.
Agreed.
Now it's not.
Agreed.
And I don't see any, like, humor geared at all towards that.
I think
instead,
the film might
like,
do
why
that.
Why do I care about this?
I would hope the film does it.
Yeah.
I just think the trailer itself, rather than taking any chances, the trailer didn't have a point of view.
That's a very fair argument to
make. Just kind of showed us some chronological stuff. It said, this is what it's going to be about.
Yeah.
And then it gave Hugh Jackman an opportunity to yell and do a big scene at the end where everyone's like, all right, Oscar bait.
So that's your leveling argument against this, that it's just like going for the Oscar.
It's Oscar bait. Like, they're not trying. Everyone's going to see it because it feels like they should see it, and it feels like it's an Oscar thing. Yeah. I love Hugh Jackman. I hope.
I'm a big Hugh Jackman fan.
I hope
as well.
He does well in this, but I just didn't get anything. And also, like, Jason Reitman, he's good.
He is good. He hasn't really come out with a great movie in a while.
But he has the ability.
He's done some good ones.
Like, I really like Thank You for Smoking.
I love Thank You for Smoking. I like Up in the Air. I like Juno.
But he has ways to, you know, have a point of view, and I would think he would be a little bit more clever.
I was expecting some of that humor to kind of come in here, and, you know, the movie may prove otherwise, but this trailer showed none of that.
The pacing was also kind of lame.
The trailer played it up as a straight-up drama, and I was like, what's dramatic about this? Our current president had, like, affairs with, like, four people that we know about.
Exactly. And plus, you can already tell, like, we know what happens. Even if you don't know what happens, you can tell what happens.
Yeah.
So you got to really dig in deep.
I saw a version of this story in a movie last year, and that was a documentary called Wiener about.
I saw that one too.
It's a really great documentary. It's so juicy and compelling. It's just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is going on. It's a very kind of similar trajectory where it's like this politician who had a bright future, had a lot going for him, and
like sex stuff.
Like sex. Especially not with his wife. And it just brings him down. That was an amazing story, and that was a real life person that people were following around with cameras. What is this movie bringing to the table that movie didn't?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of ways that this trailer could have been fixed. Like, maybe up the scandal.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, like, show how sleazy he was with this woman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And also,
because instead, the movie kind of presents it almost like as a mystery. Like, did he have an affair
with
this
woman? Obviously did.
Because by the end, it reveals that he obviously did. But throughout the movie, they're showing him.
Like, I don't know. Like, really, like, take a point of view and change the music.
I might be speaking from, like, a uniquely biased perspective on that song because I have had to edit to that song. On numerous videos.
That's what I'm saying. It feels like when you watch it.
The problem is that song was used to great effect, I'll admit, in an Apple commercial. It's a Nina Simone song. It's called Sinner Man.
Oh,
and
man.
Apple used it in a commercial for like the iWatch, and it was great. And now at the agency I work at, people are like, oh man, that song's so great. I'm like, yeah, it was great.
Let's let it be great.
Let's let it be great
on
in that
its own.
Spot. And let's not, like, you know, copy other people's work and just steal off of it. And like, now I see it in this trailer, I'm like, oh, come on. Aesthetically, it starts off with the VHS studio logos. It was used in the White Boy Rick trailer as well.
Oh.
The youngest candidate, hard spoken for
campaign trail. The clear front runner.
Jesus, you're right.
Point being, there's nothing fresh or original about this trailer.
No.
I've seen it all before.
I also like the fact that we cannot disclose the agency you work at because we're also recording this podcast there after hours.
Yeah, let's move on. The next trailer we'll be discussing is the final trailer for The Nutcracker in the Four Realms. It's funny that it was the final trailer because I didn't even see any other trailer.
Yeah, there's a lot of things
beforehand.
About this movie nobody
like,
knows
oh, this
about.
Is the final trailer?
It's weird.
Where was the first trailer? It stars the girl from Interstellar. She was young Jessica Chastain in that.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman, Helen Mirren.
Who's that?
Oh, he's God. You know, the story was originally called The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. It was a book written in 1816. It was later adapted into a ballet, which was very famous, called The Nutcracker, where the music comes from. And then it's been adapted many other times.
Yeah, there's a reality show. Yeah. There was also that romance drama.
Shut up. Listeners, don't pay any attention to AJ. Now Disney is bringing it into its, you know, live-action fold.
Where finally.
They're reinventing all these classic fairy tales into live-action pictures.
And giving the Nutcracker what it deserves.
Giving the Nutcracker its due.
A really confusing, highly visual-affected movie.
Let's check it out.
Merry Christmas, Clara.
Godfather.
Your gift this year will be something you'll never forget. Most people don't realize there are troubled realms within our world. And you hold the key to their secrets. Remember, Clara, nothing is as it seems.
Where am I?
You're in the Four Realms, Princess Clara.
Lot going on there. So, Jim, I know you're a big fan of the Nutcracker franchise.
I've been following the Nutcracker for some time now.
What are your thoughts, reactions? Do you feel weird after seeing that? I know there's a lot of questions. Do you need to talk to someone?
All right. Hear me out. I say this with more trepidation than I ever have while reviewing movie trailers with you. I'm a fan of this trailer.
Oh my God. I'm shocked. I am genuinely shocked.
I like it. I was really entertained.
I'm with you.
I might lose some respect from you, but hey.
Dude, I have no respect to give. I was entertained too.
You liked it?
It's hilarious.
You're a fan? It's great.
I'm also just confused.
I'm so confused. Granted, I did not read the novel that came out in 1860.
I've fallen asleep every time I've gone to see the ballet of the Nutcracker, which is like twice. My biggest question on this, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but does anyone really know any of this story?
I'm guessing the ballet just kind of dances through the story. Like, does it get into like all this nutty plot?
No, what boggles my mind.
I just used a pun, didn't even mean to.
What boggles my mind is that they are treating this as if it's like, you've been waiting for this.
You've been waiting for this a long time.
And then they reveal the end with the like, dun, 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 the Nutcracker. It's like, finally, we've seen it on film.
That's what's cracking me up
about
it, too.
No one knows what this is.
Yeah, what is this?
It's so confusing.
It's like, Disney has been revamping a lot of their classic titles and making them into very successful live-action movies.
And good live-action
movies. You know,
we got
Cinderella.
Beauty and the Beast.
Jungle Book. Yeah, Jungle Book. They're coming out with a Lion King, too.
Mulan.
Yeah.
And Aladdin. They're shooting Mulan and Aladdin right now.
Yeah, at the same time. And then...
and the Nutcracker in the Four Realms.
Nutcracker in the Four Realms. They changed the title. I don't know why. I guess the Mouse King wasn't testing well with audiences. Who knows?
Or the creepy monkey statue.
Creepy monkey statue, yeah. So that's actually why I like the trailer, because it is creepy. Listeners, if this is the first time you've experienced this trailer, the audio does not do it justice.
Also, please, like, usually we'll try to, like, talk about it a little bit. Like, this scene happens and this scene happens. There's no way to really do that with this, because it's all over the place.
Yes.
All I'll say is there's Morgan Freeman and he's wearing an eye patch.
With long hair.
With long hair, saying very Morgan Freeman things.
Oh, yeah.
Press pause right now and watch this trailer so we can all go through this together as a team.
So we got that. You also have that fairy Tinkerbell-like micro voice coming from none other than Keira Knightley.
Welcome to our world. The land of snowflakes. The land of flowers. And the land of sweets. But in the fourth realm, this is where our troubles began. Mother Ginger started this war.
Don't you know it's dangerous here?
I hope you'll be the one to finish it.
It sounds like she's doing a Jennifer Tilly impression. Do you know who Jennifer Tilly is?
Who's Jennifer Tilly, Jim?
She's got a very high-pitched voice. Check her out. It's got Helen Mirren playing what looks like a witch. But the Keira Knightley voice is what really, I was like, whoa,
honestly,
this movie is going for
it. I couldn't tell that was Keira Knightley.
I applaud it because it's committing to its creative decisions. You know, we were just criticizing The Frontrunner for having no point of view. It kind of just feels like it's not really committing to a tone or any stylistic direction. You can't fault this movie with that same criticism.
No, they're going
This
for
movie
it.
Is going for it.
Even
and
the
it doesn't
trailer
care
goes
how
for it.
Doesn't care how crazy it looks.
Trailer goes for it too.
The trailer goes for it as well. I really appreciated like the trailerized version of that classical song from the Nutcracker. We were talking about how much we liked the classical song that had a slight remix to it in the Godzilla King of the Monsters trailer.
Oh,
this
yeah.
kind of reminded me of that a little bit too.
Yep.
I love good classical music in my movies.
How would you elevator pitch this movie? Like blank meets blank meets blank. What would you say just based off this trailer?
Based off this trailer?
Yeah, like what would you say? Like if you had to explain this trailer in an elevator pitch, like it's such and such.
I would say it's Snow White meets Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory
and
The Shining.
Ooh, interesting. I like that. That's good. You want to hear mine?
Yeah.
So mine is, it's American Horror Story Freak Show meets Narnia meets Candyland the board game.
Candyland's a great, yeah, it is kind of like a live action Candyland movie.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you also thought it was pretty scary, since you mentioned American Horror Story.
It's terrifying.
It is. So,
it's like a scary carnival, which is American Horror Story Freak Show.
Listeners, check out the shot at a minute 03, and don't tell me that doesn't remind you of a shot from, like, The Shining. It shows these, like, Humpty Dumpty-looking
circus weirdos.
Folk, and all of a sudden they just turn and stare at the camera.
And then right before that, there's a shot of this giant, like, wind up monkey thing, but it's huge, and it's peeking behind a scary circus tent, and then its head turns around 360 degrees.
Oh my God, it's
Disney.
So crazy. While I was watching this trailer, it reminded me of a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
I kind of wish Tim Burton was making movies like this. He is doing like actually a live action Disney movie
He's
right
doing
now.
Dumbo.
He's doing Dumbo. But this looks more his speed than the teaser for Dumbo that we saw last.
This looks more Tim Burton than Tim Burton.
Yeah, for sure.
Tim Burton's gone soft.
Yeah, Tim Burton has totally gone soft. Like,
this
Tim
is
Burton,
the new
watch
Tim
this.
Burton. Yeah.
This is what we want
Take
from you.
Take some notes, asshole. People are doing you up.
By the way, Tim Burton, friend of the pod.
Love you, Tim. Sorry about that. Didn't, you know, it's got to be honest to our listeners.
This trailer is likely going to scare kids away. It's probably going to be a little too weird for people. What do you think? Do you think this movie is going to be successful? I think it's not going to be. But that's also why I kind of like it, is because it's got enough trippy, weird things happening in it that it'll like be amusing for adults.
I think two big things.
Okay.
One, I do think it's going to be successful because at this point, Disney
can just do anything.
Whatever. Yeah. I get it. Second thing, I think, there's going to be a lot of these T-shirts at Hot Topic. So that's it. We're done. Hope you had a good listen. Jim, it's been great.
I hope listeners have as much fun listening to this as we did recording it. It was a lot of fun talking about these trailers with you.
And you know what? The fun doesn't stop there. We always say it. No one ever does. Hit us up, please.
We're still waiting for that email.
Send us an email, trailermadepod@gmail.com, Twitter, @trailermadepod. On Anchor, hit us up with some voice messages. Mm-hmm. That's been fun. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next time with the next episode coming soon.
Oh, wait. One last thing. It's my oldest brother's birthday.
Tootie.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Also, Tootie's big friend of the pod, big fan and listener. So, Tootie, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, bud. This episode will not be released on your birthday, unfortunately. So, happy belated birthday.
We just know we're thinking about you.
We are thinking about you.
And we're thinking about all our listeners. That includes you.
If it's your birthday today,
happy birthday.
Stay tuned for our next episode.
Coming soon.
Trailer Made. A podcast for the trailer-loving community.